A very good morning to you. Welcome you to this Christmas service. Very glad to see friends with us. Hope you have a blessed time worshipping, fellowshipping with our brethren here in New Life Bible Presbyterian Church. I and my family would like to wish all of you a blessed Christmas and a joyous New Year if I don't see you on New Year's Day. Do you spend time reading the newspaper? Now, I think most of us do not kind of buy a physical copy today, right? Because you can get them online. They are so readily available. Okay. Now, each time you open up the paper, whether you read it in a physical form or a digital form, what kind of news do you get in the front page? Now, news are usually not very good, isn't it? Okay, in recent months, or in fact the last 2 years, you know, the heading will be there's planning for war in this country. There's this economic instability worldwide. Okay, because of the existing war that is happening in the Middle East and not too far away from us. So these are not good news, bad news. Okay. And when we read it, sometimes, you know, it creates fear in us. Okay, it says, what would the world be like? A few days ago, I was reading an article written here in the UK, and the heading starts this way: Third World War started. Wow, how did the writer of that particular piece of news, make that declaration that the Third World War has started? You know, I don't know how it affects us. Okay, but some of us may take it seriously and say, how are we affected here in London? Now, besides talking about war, let's come to something more pertinent, our livelihood. You know, I do not know whether securing a job here is easy, okay, but in Singapore, we are talking about retrenchment, okay, and if you are the unfortunate staff of a big company retrenched, especially those holding very key appointments, it's not easy for them to find another job. Okay, so the question people ask back in Singapore, okay. By the way, I'm from Singapore, so pardon me when I talk about Singapore. I'm not too familiar with the environment here. Okay. People are talking, what would the new year be like? You know, so it creates that kind of fear, worries, and uncertainty. This morning, I want to tell you of the good news. Now, we are not talking about political good news or economic good news. We want to see the best of all news. And the Bible calls it the good news. Now, before that, we talk about why newspaper, you know, would have all these heading in the front page, those bad news. Okay? In fact, University of Cambridge did a study on this matter, and it was a very lengthy article, so I'm not going to read that. I want just to take two sources. They are from America. The Los Angeles Times says that bad news hits the or tops the news in the front page of paper because of us. Okay, we like to listen to bad news. Is that true? Well, psychology says this is negativity bias, you know. And if it is good news, we say it's too good to be true, maybe. All right. But then a CBS news writer, Atkins Rodney, put it more succinctly. Now he says that bad news cover the front page Because people are not interested in good news. Okay? But if you have the bad news, and then you end with the good news, then the news is good. And it catches our attention. Okay, how true it is. Now, last Sunday after worship, some of you were on your way home. Do you realize that the wind was particularly strong? Alright. Because of the strong wind from the north. Eh? Now, I went to read up and say, well, how strong is the wind here? It was recorded at 26 miles per hour. That's pretty strong. Okay. But up in the north, it was 82 miles per hour. In Belfast City Airport, there was an accident. One of the plane from Air Lingus, part of I think it's Emirates, flagship. The plane had a hard landing and then it ended on its nose. Okay? I don't know how bad was the aircraft. And he says there were no passengers but four crew members. Okay? Of course, having read that, we know all four crew members were safe. Okay? Yeah. Now, if I put it the other way, all four crew members were safe. Okay. Then you may ask, so what? Alright? But if I tell you the plane crashed, but all are safe, that is a good news. So he says that the backdrop of all good news is of good news, the backdrop of good news is bad news. Okay, I think he had the point. Now, I want to use this to develop my sharing this morning. Alright, at the back of all the good news, okay, is those bad news. We have read Luke chapter 1 verses 1 to 20 earlier on. Now, this passage, I think to many of us, we have read it again and again. If not daily in our lives, we have read it in the many Christmases we had in church, right? Yeah. I hope you are not tired. Okay? Each time I read this passage, I find a particular warmth. Because it talks about the birth of our dear Savior. Now let me say this. Now, develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you do, you read about His birth, there's a particular warmth. Okay? And then, when you read about His sacrificial death, there's that sadness in our heart. At the same time, we know that He died for us. Okay. The angel said to the shepherd, "Fear not! For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." By the way, the word glad tidings, right, is where we get the word gospel. Because the old English word means gospel. Gospel. Okay? In Greek, or the Greek used another term, euangelion, which means the good message or the good news. So today when we talk about the good news, we are talking about the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the question is, why is the news of Jesus' birth good? I say, good news isn't always appreciated unless it's against the backdrop of bad news. We want to see a few things regarding the life of Joseph and Mary, and then on the Savior himself. Number one, prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, the Jews had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah means a deliverer, a savior. Okay. And they are looking for a political deliverer. Someone who will deliver them from the political hardship that they were going through at that time. Okay? Now, Israel had gone through hardship since 722 BC. That year, the northern kingdom was taken into captivity. We are talking about wholesale, everyone. Okay? Probably only the sick, the dying. Okay? Children, young men, middle-aged men, they were all taken to Babylon. Okay? And then 150 years later, southern kingdom, Judah, was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And they never became a country or kingdom of their own for a long time. Okay. Well, they did go back. We know that sometime in 536 BC, they did go back. And our Sunday preaching on the book of Nehemiah, we say that they went back. First group of 50,000 people went back, but they had never become a nation in that sense. Okay? The nation of Israel. And we know that they only became a nation in 1948. And then, surrounding them were civil wars for a long, long time. We read it in history. Alright? That Rome has been fighting for power. Okay? There was not one king that rules forever, right? There was no peace and stability in the country. The Jews long for a day when they will be a country, where there will be peace. They long for a Messiah to come to bring in peace. Our text says, in the year when Caesar Augustus was emperor, he sent a decree that requires the world to be taxed. And it was at that time, Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And this taxation was a little different because they require all people to go back to their hometown, the birthplace, to register and to be taxed. Caesar Augustus became an emperor sometime in BC 31. Okay, and he reigned for like over 30 years over the stretch when time Christ was born. And so, if he start reigning at 31 BC, Christ was born, like 30 years later, so he has been in power for about 30 years. Now, Caesar Augustus was a powerful ruler. When he ruled the world, he allowed the Jews to continue in their worship and also in their lifestyle. Okay. Now, I know many of us would tend to think that, you know, the Roman emperors were very cruel to the Jews. But it was not so with Caesar Augustus. Now, I just want to be sure, because I was trying to understand, was it really Caesar Augustus who was very cruel to the Jews? So I read a little bit more this time while I was here. Okay. And all history books point to the fact that he was actually very kind to the Jew. Okay, there was no persecution. Right? But that by this time, people had made images of him, you know, throughout the country. And they call him Caesar is God. But he did not make the Jews to worship him in that sense, or persecuted the Jews. But the Jews were apprehensive. You know, they have been going through those difficult times for so many years. You know, and then you have now a ruler who has promised peace to the earth, in a sense. Okay, and says, you Jews, you can do what you are doing, you know, or what you were doing all this time. Go to the temple to worship. Alright, continue. Okay, you have to perform all those sacrifices. Continue in these things. But can you imagine if you are a Jew living at that time, you are apprehensive. Okay, because many people who come into power, they promise you all kinds of things. Probably they'll keep it for 1 year. Then after that, they'll break all the promises, right? So they were apprehensive. So it's in this kind of political climate, the Lord Jesus was born. So, background, bad. Okay? But the birth of Jesus Christ brought hope. And he is bringing hope to us today. Now, unfortunately, the Jews rejected him. Right? And they crucified him. We know that. But we know one day he's coming back. And he's going to redeem Israel. And he's going to rule the earth. Then there will be genuine peace. So that is the first background of bad news. And then comes the good news. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as declared by the angel. He says, I bring you glad tidings. And I say the word glad tidings means the gospel, the good news. Let's look at the second bad news. Now they were asked to go back to their hometown to be taxed. Now, was the decree to register for taxation a good thing? Well, you say, so I have to go back to Singapore to be taxed, so I just take a flight back. Huh? Okay. But for Joseph and Mary, they had to travel some 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Okay. And if you have visited Bethlehem, you know, as you travel down Jerusalem towards Hebron and going up to Bethlehem, it is a hill. Okay? And you do not have modern transportation. Right. It was a burden for Joseph and Mary. To other people, it may be just disruptive, right? Yeah, I have to travel back so far to register and then to be taxed. You know, I got to put down my carpentry work. I got to put down my whatever job that I'm doing. Okay? How long did it take to be there? Scholars estimate at least 4 to 5 days. But I got a hunch that, you know, Mary, when she's at her final stage of pregnancy, probably I may have to add 1 or 2 more days. So they take 4 to 6 days to go to Bethlehem to be taxed. Okay. Now, what is the good news then? Bad news is, you have to take that, huh? So you can imagine Joseph and Mary are thinking, we've got to travel that far. Okay? Now, after 6 days, assuming they took 6 days, they arrive in Bethlehem safely. That is good news. Alright? Now, I do not know whether you experience it, having to travel for many days. Okay? Someone was sharing that in the traveling, somehow, we were talking last night. Okay? You know, there was no transport. And then, you got to take a bus to one place and then a bus to another place. You know, instead of taking an hour to reach the destination, probably the person took 2 hours. Okay? So, you can imagine, I take a flight here, Singapore Airlines says, sorry, I can't land in London Heathrow Airport. But let's do a stopover somewhere. alright, in Dubai or in Doha, okay, and then stop there. It says they cannot take off, you know, yeah, they have to wait for another, say, 2-3 days, you know, and then after like 3-4 days, I arrive in London, and then y'all says, wow, thank God, he finally arrived, right? So what is the bad news? The bad news is that all the problem with the flight, and the good news is the person arrived safely. And that is important. So Joseph and Mary arrived safely in Bethlehem. So what is the next problem when they came to Bethlehem? Well, you make a guess, right? There was no room in the inn. Having traveled for such a long distance, no hotel room for them. Well, for some good reason, I think finance was not a matter. Okay? They are prepared to pay for a room in the inn, but no room in the inn. So, what are they going to do? You have the money, but you can't check into a room. Okay? And I assume they had asked several places, though not written. I only assume. Okay? The first hotel says no room. Second hotel says no room. And they went to the third hotel. And the innkeeper was kind. We have no room. But I look at you, Mary, you know, Heidi with child. Alright. If you don't mind, there is a stable. Different commentators have different idea about the place that is used to keep animals. Some says donkey, some says horse. Okay, so I just use the word stable. Alright? If you don't mind, that is more comfortable than staying outside. Okay? In the cold. Okay. And that night, Mary delivered her first child. Not St. Mary's Hospital. Okay. She delivered her first child in a stable. There was no baby cot. Where did she place the child? In a manger. Now what is a manger? Manger is that trough where they put the feet for the animal. Their hay there. Okay? And she put her child there. She swaddled her up, him up, sorry, and placed the little child there. And Mary looked at her firstborn child with gladness in her heart. Later on, we're going to see, actually Mary kept very quiet throughout. She kept everything in her heart. We read that earlier on, in the passage. So, the bad news is, no room in a hotel. Good news is, Jesus is born. He came into this world. Nothing ostentatious. He came in humility. And he died in humility, as preachers would say. And this is the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bad news, no room, but then the child is born and he is saved. Is that important? Yeah, important. What is the next bad news? The bad news is Herod sent soldiers to kill him. Right? Then we have to turn to Matthew chapter 2. Now, we can't read that passage because of time. But in Matthew chapter 2, there were wise men who came from the east. Okay. And they were looking for the newborn king of the Jews. So people were all, they were making inquiry, you know, about this new king. And somehow Herod heard about this. Then he invited the wise man into his palace. Now, please, go and find the newly born king of the Jews. Let me know where he is, so that I may go and pay my homage or whatever. Okay, but he has an evil intention, right? Okay, so the wise man left, followed the star. Christmas carol says stars of wonder, stars of light. Okay, so they follow the star and they reach Bethlehem. At Bethlehem, they offered their gifts to the newborn king. There were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay. And God somehow spoke to them. He says, don't go back to Herod. Okay? Return by another way. And when Herod knew that the wise man had not kept the promise in a sense, he was wroth. And he sent soldiers to kill all infants 2 years and below. I feel very sorry for those infants at that time, right? They were killed. Yeah. So this was a very bad news if you put it in the paper. Okay. But God sent an angel and appeared to, or God himself, I would say, spoke to Joseph and Mary. Take the child and go to Egypt. Now. And they obeyed. And the child was kept safe. The bad news is, there's these soldiers coming after the child. Okay. And the good news is, Jesus was protected from this slaughter. That is the good news. Now, while I was preparing this message, in fact, I've done it earlier on, and while I was doing some reading on Christmas messages, someone mentioned, he says, there was a bad news. And the bad news was that Mary was with child before marriage to Joseph. She was a virgin. Now, we know from the scripture that it was the work of God that placed the infant Jesus, or the fetus, into the womb of Mary. And she went through the usual months of pregnancy, alright? And then eventually gave birth to Jesus. Okay. Now, I agree with the particular message I read. The preacher says that, you know, Mary had to go through shame for a long period of time. She was betrothed or engaged to Joseph. Not married. But she was with child. Joseph understood. Probably the rest of the family members understood. But not for the general public, right? As the bump in her stomach grew bigger, people will be uttering words, spreading all kinds of messages about her, right? Today, we have liberals who say, you know, Mary was raped by a soldier, or many soldiers. And so they gave, she had this child. Someone say that it's a story, it's a myth. The 80s would normally say it's a myth. You know, any myth that you would have heard about Greek and Rome. Okay? Yeah. If people give birth to snakes and animals, then you have this myth of Mary having a child. Unfortunately, we have even liberal pastors who preach that, who believe it is a myth. And they tell the congregation that there's no such thing as a virgin having a child. It defiles knowledge, science, okay, and all the possibility, huh? Okay. So Mary went through that. How long? I don't know when, at what stage of her pregnancy she went to Bethlehem with Joseph. But the Bible says she was heavy with child. Okay. So about to deliver. But then she needs time to travel, huh? Yeah. And we know today, if you are with child, after 7th month, I think, you can't board a plane. Yeah. So she must be 7, 8, 8.5, coming to 9. Okay. So for about 7 months in her own country, you know, you have people who wag their tongue and say many things about her. And she endured all this. You know. It's not easy. But she was a woman chosen by God to go through it. Yeah. And then finally, in Bethlehem, she gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And angels appeared to the shepherd and declared to them that you will see a child swaddled up, lying in a manger, and this is the Son of God. You see, Mary bore the Son of God in that sense. Huh? When I say this, I got to say this is in human language, right? That she bore the Son of God. So it's a bad news. All this while, the pain of hearing what people would say. But now, everything is fulfilled according to the prophecy. Now, I am not touching on the prophecy because we have it in our articles for the last 4 weeks. What happened in Bethlehem that night fulfilled all the wonderful prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. See, a lot of bad news. But above it all, we get the good news that Jesus has come into this world to be our Savior. Now, next thing I want to talk about is, then what is good news? Now, you can go to the dictionary and find a definition for good news. But I must say this, that good news must be reliable, right? If a news is meant to deceive, no matter how good, okay, it is not a good news. So good news must be reliable. Now, dear brethren, the record in Luke chapter 2 is a reliable record. Okay. Now, I was also interested in, is there any opposition in that sense, to the record in Luke chapter 2? And I realized there was very little, you know, the liberals, the atheists commenting on Luke chapter 2. Okay? But instead, historically, it is true that Caesar Augustus ruled Rome. In fact, he was known as the first Roman emperor. Because prior to him, the rest are like, you know, they were fighting. There's not one. There were many emperors in a sense. Okay. But there was not one that unite the entire empire. Cyrenius, the governor of Syria at that time, was also true. There was a decree to be taxed
This is also recorded in history. Okay. And so the story of Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem to be taxed must be true. So, brethren, we are not holding a book writing things that we are not certain they are true or not. We are reading the Bible. The record is absolutely true because it is the Word of God. So I hope we see the preciousness of the Bible. Yeah. Because the record is true. Christmas is the good news of God sending His Son to reconcile lost man and woman to Himself. It is a good news. Paul says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of course, he added the word, of whom I am the chief. The star of Christmas is Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. This shining star led the wise man to the Savior. The world is in darkness. It's an euphemism, or the way of speaking, meaning that the people of the world do not know what will happen in future. Yes, true, we do not know what will happen in the future. Okay, but there's one thing for sure, we know Christ is coming back, right? There's one more thing we are sure, and that is, He will come and receive us to Himself. I hope we are all sure of that. Without this certainty, living in this world will be filled with all uncertainties. What is worse? Men and women are moving away from God. They are lost in sin. When we say they are lost in sin, it's another way of saying that sin is their lifestyle. You know? And today, people don't talk about sin as a big matter. Right? They say that sin is just part and parcel of life. Okay? Therefore, the newspaper have more bad news than good ones. We are going to see more bad news, or going to hear more bad news. Jesus told his disciples this. He says, you want to know my time of my return? Now, look for this sign. And he says, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Yeah, we're going to hear of all these things. So don't be surprised, you know. As I said, my first week here, local paper says Third World War has started. Okay. The angels announced the good news to the shepherd. And then suddenly a host of angels, a multitude of hosts, the host there refers to angels, appeared, and they were singing praises to God. Chapter 2 of Luke, verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And this is what we will have in us. Yeah, in the world we do not have that peace. In the world, you have no peace. But there is peace in us. There is peace in God.
And what did the shepherd do? The Bible says, they proclaim the birth of Jesus Christ. And it came to pass as the angels were gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which shall come to pass. And they came with haste and found Mary. And then verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
Now, what must we be doing? We have the good news. We now know the good news, right? Proclaim it. Do what the shepherd did.
Okay. You cannot say, I know it, but I just find it so difficult to do it. You know?
What can the shepherd, what kind of influence do they have? But they spread abroad. Whether the people like to listen or not, because they have seen it, they heard it, they declare it abroad. Means far and wide. Okay. And that is what we should be doing. And every Christmas, we want that message. But unfortunately, this message is not loud and clear. Yeah. Yeah.
Because the world is moving further and further away from the truth. But you and I must not forget that it is our duty to preach the gospel, the good news. A man traveled a great distance for an interview with a distinguished scholar. He was ushered into the man's study, where he said, Doctor, I noticed that the walls of your study are lined with books from the ceiling to the floor. No doubt, you have read them all, and know you have written many yourselves. You have traveled extensively, and doubtless you have the privilege of conversing with some of the world's wisest men. I've come a long way to ask you just one question. Tell me, of all that you have learned, what is the one thing worth knowing?
My dear sir, replied the scholar, of all the things I have learned, only two are really worth knowing. Number one, I'm a great sinner. Number two, Jesus is the great Savior. Now, brethren, I hope this is true in our life as a Christian. A very blessed Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful news that was declared to the shepherds. They heard it, they saw it, and they went and spread it abroad. Father, help us to be the bearer of this gospel. Lord, we realize that we are just but very weak vessels. Just like the shepherd, they feel weak. But God, help us to do our part, that we may bring men and women to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear these our prayers, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.